You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome to episode 429 of After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. Reminder, for the Hoops Hangout and all the fun things going on with Seneca, go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com to get all the information on events and everything that's coming up. But first, something I thought I would never say. Sam Reinhart is a 50-goal guy in the NHL.
Yes, I mean, he is.
I'm happy for him, man. I'm really happy for him. I never saw it coming. Never saw that coming.
In an empty net, by the way, which we talked about. Remember we had JR on, and I was like, if you have the empty net chance, do you take it or do you wait for the goal? He's like, no, you absolutely take it. Because do you remember he passed up on 40 here in Buffalo? He could have taken the shot.
Yep.
He passed up 40. He passed it over. And I think there was a little bit of, I don't want to get my 40th on an empty netter in Buffalo. Maybe. You think a little bit? Last night, puck pops out in the slot, empty netter. Boom. Didn't even think about it and gave a little celebration. And good for him.
Yeah, I wasn't
man.
Giving that one but up.
I cannot imagine how he feels today because he said it in his interview after the game. He's like, not a number that I ever thought of. Like, I think when Sam got in the league and his time in Buffalo and got to Florida, I think he's probably thinking, yeah, I could be a 35, maybe a 40-goal guy in this league for sure. But I don't think Sam Reinhart ever put 50 next to the idea of a season.
He scored 30. He hasn't even scored 40, right? Scored
wasn't
multiple
he on pace
20s
for,
in Buffalo.
Was he not on pace for 40 one year in a shortened season or something? I feel like maybe COVID. I can't remember.
No, he's not on pace for 40. Last year he had 82 games, had 31 goals. The year before that, he had 33 goals in 78 games. The year before that, he had in Buffalo, which was his best year, he had 25 goals in 54 games. So
25 goals in 54 games, that's probably that could be a 40-goal season.
could be, but it's typically not going to be a 40 goal season. It's probably going to be 35 to 37, yeah. You know, somewhere around that. Could have went on.
Okay.
But he scored 50, and I'm so happy for the guy. Guy's playing on a great team. He's winning games. He's playing hockey in paradise, Miami, Florida. I mean, life's good.
Well, his interview was different. You know, I don't watch a ton of Florida games. You see the highlights and stuff, and then you see they're on, like when they're on the national broadcast, you watch them because they're always exciting. But I don't see their post-game stuff. I don't watch their post-game interviews and all that stuff. But he was interviewed last night, and I saw it on the NHL Network today. And it's just amazing the difference in the tone and the sound and the voice and the knowledge and the wisdom that comes from 10 playoff games 2 years ago and then a Stanley Cup final run last year, leading on to a 50-goal season the next year. And just, you know, where his interviews were when he was here in Buffalo and what the topic was versus what it's like now.
Does it not irritate you a little bit? Does it not? Yeah, like I am really, really happy for Jack Eichel. And there's a lot of people that aren't, but if you look past it as just the person and the player,
it's a great story.
He had given a number of years to Buffalo Sabres. Every single solitary year, we're losing years. There was no sight, no bright light down the tunnel. So at what point in time does a star player want to be in an environment of winning? And I look at Jack Eichel. He was the face of this franchise. He had to be moved on. He ends up winning a Stanley Cup. I'm happy for Jack. And I think everybody here in Buffalo should be happy for Jack. I look back to Ryan O'Reilly. Ryan O'Reilly,
Are you going to run the gauntlet on this after multiple
losses over and over and over and over, says that he's losing the passion for the game of hockey, game that he's played his entire life. He gets moved on. He wins the Stanley Cup, Conn Smythe, and the Selke.
Who's next?
You have Sam Reinhart that moves on and for three seasons has been a President's Trophy winner, possibly could have another one this year in Florida. He scores 50 goals. The other 2 years he scored over 30. Okay, on a highly competitive hockey team that went to the Stanley Cup Finals last year. Then you can even go further, Petey, in things that Brandon Montour was brought here to Buffalo from Anaheim. I remember being so insanely excited about the prospects of what this young guy does, how he skates, how he moves the puck, his offensive ability. He literally is buried on our third pair and for many nights got healthy scratched on almost every night, didn't play on the power play. And then all of a sudden he goes to the Florida Panthers and puts up 73 points last year.
I didn't expect him to be that kind of a piece in addition to the team. He became a different player when he was there.
Well, yeah, when you get opportunity,
but also you're put in a position to be held accountable. And when you make a mistake, you're probably going to hear about it. Like, he's learned how to play defense. He's learned how to be a well-rounded defenseman and be an asset to that team. It wasn't necessarily – now, granted, that might have been the system here. That might have been the coaching. That might have been the standard that was here when he was here. But, I mean, my God, there's more. How about the – we don't have to run them all, but how about the goalie in Boston? What's his name? Vezina Trophy winner. That's his fucking name. Goal scorer. He has a goal too.
Well, again, you think it's funny, and it is funny. But Linus Allmark went to Boston and ended up winning a Vezina. This is someone that we didn't want as a goaltender that well, we I'm not couldn't gonna, sign listen, I'm not $5 million a year.
No, I'm not going to contradict myself on this one because I have discussed this one before, and that was not a time to sign that goalie to a $5 million contract. Sorry.
Why is that, though?
Because the team sucked.
Oh, so you just want to continue to suck ass balls until you can sign a goaltender that you can know and trust and understand that he was still young at the time and you saw the light on him and say, hey, I'm going to give you $5 million. I'm not going to give you $9 million.
So I will say this. So I will say you are bitter that Sam scored 50.
I'm not bitter at Sam.
You're bitter that we had all these talented players and we had to let them all go and excel somewhere else.
Well, we had to let
Zach Bogosian won a cup in Tampa. He's apparently sucked here too. Are you writing him down?
Yes.
Evander Kane, minus the off ice shit, he went and put on some good numbers.
Evander Kane, to me, you know, he's probably one of the top 10 best power forwards in the game. When we got him, was really not a good time to get him. He was still dealing with a lot of issues, you know, away from the game. That being said, the way he played the game was absolutely fantastic.
Oh, it was awesome.
Like, he was amazing.
I loved that trade when the Sabres made it. And I knew I didn't know anything about what?
I did not at all.
Oh, you didn't, eh?
I thought it was a terrible trade.
I love Bogosian and
listen,
I love Kane.
You had a team in Winnipeg that
might have been a year too soon.
You had a team in Winnipeg that had some pretty damn good players on there. And when you are, you know, there's rules of every single team, some more lenient, some more strict than others. And when you have a team that has rules, and for an example, everybody needs to wear a suit, and then you have Evander Kane that's on his own page that comes to the game that night in a tracksuit. But it was an expensive tracksuit. And I think it was Dustin Byfuglien who ended up throwing his suit into the shower. And you knew that there was issues with the player on that team.
Yeah.
And
okay.
For me, fine. That's red flags.
I love that the general manager at the time was at least willing to go and try and pull trades like that off. I mean, that was a ballsy trade and he made it. He stood by it, you know, and did what he did. But they were two types of players that the team needed, types of players on the ice. So at least the vision was somewhat there. Anyway, are we going to continue down this path of Sabres that left? Because this is exactly the exact opposite conversation that I was looking to have off the Sam Ryan.
Just, you know,
I did not want to go down this path because it seems to be the one that everyone goes down. I have no regrets that Sam's not here. I have no regrets that Sam Reinhart scored 50 goals last night. I'm just impressed. I'm not mad. I'm impressed. How's that? What movie's that from?
I'm impressed. And I'm happy for him. I just think that this is amazing. It really is amazing. It still stings because, you know, you're looking at this young man that's scoring 50 points and or 50 goals. And, you know, he's a point of game guy and he's a great penalty killer and he's, you know, an awesome teammate. And I mean, he's flourishing in another environment. And that's what bothers me. That's what I have a hard time with. That's what, you know, it really does irritate me. When I look around at these players on other teams having success, and I'm happy for them individually, but I'm
shifting gears,
trying
please.
To understand what is the reasons for the Sabres going to be coming on 13 years of not making the playoffs. What is this reason?
Well, that's a high note. They won last night, but before we get to that, Ovi, two more goals. Just saying, two more goals. Not going to spend a ton of time on it. He's at 25 and 26 now. I said if he gets 30, they squeeze into third in that division, not in the wild card, and they're right there. Philly lost last night to Florida. Washington beats the Jets 3-0. I have no idea where this team's coming from. They have two games in hand on Philadelphia. And Ovi's starting to heat up. He's going to get 30, Riv. He's going to get 30. He has 12 games to get four goals. He's going to get 30.
He's got 8 goals in his last 5 games. And this is what he does. He's I wouldn't call him super streaky, but what I'm saying is when he does score, he can score a lot of goals. You know, he's been very quiet a large part of the season. It was concerning. I mean, it was like, I don't know how many games we're in, and I think he was sitting at, what, 8 goals? I think when we started to talk about Ovi, we were hoping that he would get like 20. I was just hoping that he would get to 20 goals.
And now I thought we said 15 was realistic. 18, and then we got to 20. We're like, okay, he's got to get to 20. Then he hit 20.
Yeah.
He bagged like 4 in a row.
Well, you want him to get to 22 because that would have put him at now needing 50 goals left.
He needs 48 goals.
I don't think there's any question whatsoever.
It's not even a question. It's just whether he's going to get it done next year. Next year. Does it get done next year?
I don't think it's going to get done next year. I think Ovi's years. Oh, God, what am I doing? What am I even saying? He's had 26 goals. Like, he could easily score over 30 this year. He could score, if he scored 30 goals this year, it would be magical. Because when you look at the team that he's dealing with, and, you know, listen, every single player, every single goal scorer needs a guy that can get him a puck. Every single goal scorer needs a really good power play. Okay. And they don't have any of that. Like, Alex Ovechkin does not have the Backstroms, the Kanetsov. They don't have the power play that they used to have that at one time was one of the top in the league. They're dealing with a whole bunch of players on this team that are maybe not quite household names. I don't know how they're finding ways to win. It's really kind of ridiculous. But I'm super happy for Ovi. Man, if he could get 30, that would be magical. Like, truly magical. Because no one would have saw it coming. Can I ask you another question?
33 games, 19 goals. Since January 1.
Games, 19, yeah, it's and pretty damn
impressive.
He has
12 games left to go the rest of the season. He could get 6 more, finish with 32.
Let me ask you a question here. Let me take you for a ride in a bit of a different direction. I want to talk about the Sabres game. But before we get to the Sabres game, if you had one word, I don't want to discuss the game, but if you had one word to describe the game last night, what would it be?
Is this a trick question?
It is not a trick question. I really want you just to give me one word to describe the game last night, and then I have another question for you, which is not Sabres related.
Okay. Satisfactory.
Satisfactory. Okay. Okay. That's a good one.
I mean, okay.
I like that.
Do I get to elaborate on that word later?
Yes, I would. Okay. Yes.
Doesn't have to be right now. Finish what you were going to say, though.
Nothing. I wasn't going to say anything. I like that. I'm even going to write it down and look at it for a little while because that's actually satisfactory. And you can elaborate on that when we start to talk about exactly why you chose that, those words. I've got a word too, but we'll discuss it later when we discuss the Sabres game. I feel.
What are we discussing here then?
Well, I'm gonna let you know. I feel that there's two things right now.
It's the first time you've had me in suspense in a really, really long time, and
yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. There's, you know, the Sabres right now. I'm so disappointed. I'm so down. with what's happened this season. I don't want to get into it, but I'm trying to find other things that literally are making me really watch hockey. And every morning I'm waking up, I'm watching the sports and the games and the goals and things that are happening in other games. But right now I'm looking at two things that every single morning I'm constantly checking for. Number one, because I still think it's very exciting, is who's going to be the worst team in the league this year? Who's going to get the number? I shouldn't say get the number one pick.
Okay.
But, San Jose Sharks, because I have ties to Thomas Vanek, a very awesome guy. Mike Greer played with them on two different teams. I know that Ryan Miller is part of that organization. And I look at the two teams that have an opportunity to end in the last position. And there's only two teams. There's Chicago Blackhawks and San Jose Sharks. San Jose right now is 4 points behind Chicago. And I would love nothing more. And I mean nothing more to see San Jose get that first pick overall to get Celebrini. I'm just going to say it. I hope for them to finish in that position where they get that player, because I think he is an absolute game changer.
Anyway. Do you know that if San Jose Sharks win the lottery, that'll be the first time that a black NHL general manager makes the first overall NHL pick? Because Mike Greer is the first black general manager in the National Hockey League.
Is he really?
Yeah. I had to look that up. It says on July 5th, 2022, Greer became the general manager of the San Jose Sharks. This move made him the first black general manager in NHL history.
Very, very impressive. One of the greatest, truly, I think you could say the same thing, one of the greatest players and people that I have ever played with.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm going to tell you what, man. One of the very few players that comes and goes in your life on a team, then you see him on the other side of the red line on a warm-up, and you're actually emotional.
And why is that? Well, like, what for? I think his outlook on life, I think his outlook, how he treats his body, how he goes about just being such an incredibly positive vibe around you. When you're around him, you're just a better person for it. And it's weird to say, because you don't meet, there's people that you like and that you get along and have fun with and go to parties and dinners and drink and this. And then there's
I've shared some Mike Greer stories before, and I'm sure people, if you're a regular listener, you've probably heard this, whether it comes from the Instigator Times or even from this show, because his name comes up quite a bit. And you know, I think one of the best things that ever happened to him after hockey was when Drew brought him into New York, you know, and then Drew let him go become this general manager in San Jose. But we're skating around a warm-up in 05-06. Things are pretty good around our locker room. You know, we're winning games. We have a good team. We know we do. We're competing every night. Young guys are performing. And we had a day off, and then we back to the rink the next day. And we're just skating around in the morning. Just get on the ice, right? You know, 9:15 stretch. You're on the ice at, say, 10:15 or whatever it was. And so you're out there, you know, 9:45, 9:50, and you're just kind of skating around, shooting pucks and whatever. He skates up behind me, and I had my chin strap undone, just very kind of loose out there, you know, like just kind of warming up the body. Gives me a pat on the ass with the blade of the stick, and he goes, "Hey, do up your helmet. It's a work day." And naturally, I go, "Fuck you, Gersey." No, I'm just joking. I said, I did up my chin strap right away. I didn't say anything to him. And it's just those little things that just,
yeah.
So something I never forgot.
Pretty impressive guy, but going back to what we were talking about, I'm looking at two things One of those things is obviously who's going to end in the 32nd position. I pretty much check the scores of Chicago and San Jose every single morning that I wake up to see where what team wins or loses. And I'm really looking, I'm really hoping that San Jose Sharks can get that first pick overall. I think that Macklin Celebrini. So anyway, the other one is I think that we have quite a race in the National Hockey League. New York Rangers, Vancouver Canucks currently right now sit with 98 points. Okay. This is for the President's Trophy. This is for the best team in the National Hockey League for the entire season. Now there's 10 games. Some teams have 11. Okay. You have Boston Bruins, 97 points. Dallas Stars, 97 points. Carolina Hurricanes, 97 points. Colorado Avalanche, 97 points. Florida Panthers, 97 points. And then two teams, Vancouver and New York Rangers, have 98 points. All teams have either played 71 or 72 games. Like, I can't believe how good these teams are.
I won a President's Trophy.
How much money did you get?
I don't remember what it was. I think
you got
it was
a little like a ching, didn't you? For
winning yeah. Every player was like, I can't remember how much was split amongst the player, but it was an added, whatever it was added to your playoff bonus. So it might have been 10 or 15 grand, maybe each player. But
yeah,
but it's not even that. Like it that's the cool part of it, that you get an extra 10 or 15 grand. But it actually means something, though. Because if you know, that means you're a favorite to probably win the cup, and that gives you home ice advantage right through the playoffs. So, you know, if you're Colorado, could you imagine having home ice advantage? You know how valuable that is with the altitude and all of that. I mean, that it's a difference maker for a lot of these teams.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned Colorado in particular. Out of all those teams that I mentioned, Colorado Avalanche has the best home record. They're 28-6. They've only lost 6 games at home this year. Like they are a monster team. I don't know, like we had spoke about with Casey Mittelstadt, where Casey is getting used to the altitude, you know, obviously his breathing and the fatigue factor in your body over the course of the game, you get more fatigue being in that altitude. And that's why Colorado, I think, does so well, because their bodies are accustomed to dealing with the altitude. They don't get tired. They just pump for 60 minutes, all 3 periods.
Like, I think they're in such good shape to begin with because MacKinnon pushes that pace. MacKinnon is your standard. Like on the Buffalo Sabres, sorry to go sideways, I don't know who the pinnacle is to be like, this guy is like crazy in shape. He is the ultimate leader. Like there was that article about MacKinnon a couple of years ago, changed no more pop at the diet or at the team lunches, no more ice cream.
Yes, I heard that.
Like all, like they went to like some kind of special like fucking chickpea pasta and all this shit. And the performance of the team like went through the roof. He had the whole lunch changed.
We will look into that more, because I remember that Nate MacKinnon changed a whole bunch of things in the locker room. Now, this is ultimately one of the greatest players in the game. He's arguably the best player in the world, and he wants to win. He wants to win cups. They're in their prime right now, Colorado. This is their time to win. And he wants to do everything. Now, did he do that, Petey? Did he do that before last season when they won the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, this article came out, I think, the year they won the Stanley Cup. I'm trying to...
Yeah. We're going to go and we're going to research all that, because I think it's fascinating that a player like that...
It was Nikita Zadorov. Talked about it. This is what Nikita Zadorov said. Nate MacKinnon, I saw the progression in Nate's game. He is such a pro. He is a dietologist. He pays $50,000 a year He has a live-in doctor physiotherapist in his house during the season. He pays him $1,000 each day. In addition, he rents him an apartment. He has his own chef who he pays another $100,000 a year. He simply invests in himself and his body so he can play at the highest level. He's crazy that way. He eats right. He doesn't drink. He drinks only water. 2 years ago in Colorado, he got rid of all the pop ice cream desserts. He got rid of from the dressing room and pregame meals. He even got rid of white sauce carbonara for pasta. He replaced the actual pasta itself with chickpea pasta that has more protein and so on. He made pros out of our entire Colorado team. That's one of the reasons that Colorado got such an improvement in performance over the last couple of years. He says, guys, if you want to eat that crap, you have the off season for that. When you come here, there will be none of that because we're winning the cup. All the young guys see it, look up to him, and try to do their part. Nate is like MJ. I don't want to make a direct comparison, but his way of thinking is very similar to MJ. He can be a jerk to his teammates, line mates. You need to accept that, and that it would improve you as a hockey player as a result. If you can't accept it, well, you're off the team.
That's amazing.
Hold on, I'm not done.
Wow.
If you miss a pass in practice, I had to mute it because I was laughing. He's like, you're off the team. It's like Tom Brady. You miss fucking passes in practice. He's like, nah, I can't use this guy. If you miss a pass in practice, he would skate over and literally scream at you. Okay, that's a little much. You can't pass him the puck without hitting his stick. We had young players come over during the playoffs. If the puck ends up in his skates, not even his skates, if it misses his stick by a tiny bit, like 15 centimeters in front of the blade, he doesn't even move his stick to catch the puck. What an asshole. Oh, that's a little bit much. That's what I did to you when you came to the team.
Yeah, but you had to lift your stick straight up because I nailed it right.
You actually did put it on the tape. That's true. Yeah. He doesn't move. Hold on. He stops everything, turns around, and slaps the puck back at you. He's not going to try to receive any puck he doesn't like during practice just to show you that you made a shitty pass.
I like that. And what's the first thing that comes to mind, like when you think of these types of things coming from a player like Nate MacKinnon?
Well, I think the obvious choice is Celino Laha. Everything that you just described, the standard, is what Celino Laha expects from their attorneys. Because when you've been hurt in a car crash and need a personal injury attorney, why would you want to settle for anything less than that? So if you need Celino Laha, pick up the phone, call the number 888-888-8888. And go see what a real winning standard looks like. Car crash, call Celino. Sorry, I blacked out. As you were saying?
Standard.
Standard. Okay.
The standard is literally be the absolute best. And if you cannot get to your best, then you should not be there. Because you're not going to help them win. This is all about winning. Everything is about winning. It's not about developing. It's not about gaining, you know, this, that, and the other. It is literally about winning. And there is a standard that is around the National Hockey League that is very, very, very different from the top teams to the bottom teams. The standard is completely different.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You know what time of year it is? It's March Madness time, and I have two words for you. Hoops Hangout. Saturday, April 6th, it's the College Basketball Tournament Watch Parties at Seneca Niagara.
Catch college basketball tournament action with your friends in your one-of-a-kind viewing area at Seneca Niagara. To reserve your spot, go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com.
Nothing else comes close.
So that was the other thing. So I brought up Colorado. I think they're going to end up winning the President's Trophy. I think they're the best team in the league again. They seem to have all the depth. So one was who's going to finish at the bottom, and then President's Trophy race. Was that it? Were those the two things?
Right.
Because you and did say you had one word to describe the Sabres game, and I'm kind of itching to know what that is.
Boring.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I said satisfactory, and that was just because I didn't want to be negative and say boring. But it was boring. Disappointed in a couple areas. Some areas. Good win. A nice win. All I'm rooting for now.
Let's get positive for a second.
All I'm rooting for is UPL to hit 30.
No. Don't go away from your positivity. I love when you're positive. And I want you to explain to me what were some of the positive things that the Sabres did.
I like Tuck, Turca, and Thompson.
Yep.
I like that. Like that. It's nice. It's nice to know that that's there. So there's that.
Paterka's still a really young work in progress. He's certainly getting better, but my God, he's still young. 24.
He can play with those boys, though. He can play with them. He can.
Oh, easily. I mean, he's. I think he's still very green in his overall game. But you can tell that his hockey knowledge is there. It'd be nice for him to have an insane end to the season, maybe score 30 goals, maybe put up, 55 points. It'd be nice to see that. But he's had a solid season of growth in the National Hockey League. He's got some nice signs of things ahead in his game. So it's nice that they're giving him a little shot with Tuck and Thompson. I'd love to see Tuck and Thompson still. I feel like they're fighting it a little bit. They're doing a lot of great things, but it's just like, man, they seem like they can't get a break. It's like every single day I wake up and they're like, Connor McDavid has 3 points, 4 points.
One other thing I'll add about Paterka is he's plus six. He's plus six.
Yeah.
I think that's huge. Another thing I wanted to mention, happy for Peyton Krebs last night. Scored a goal at home.
Yes. Ripped it. Yep. Absolute bullet. You know, good teammate, good kid. Nice to see him get that in front of the friends and family, right?
Connor Clifton buries it dead center from his own end. No, it was not too bad either. And UPL gets a win, only one goal against.
Yeah.
Those are the positives. The negative for me.
Do we have to go there?
No.
Let's enjoy the 4-1 win, and let's enjoy ending the road trip on a winning note. And
okay.
There's ultimately nothing to play for.
Okay, where I was fucking going. Like, but I'm not allowed to say it, but you can. My negative wasn't.
Well, listen, man, I'm going to tell you this.
Hold on. I will say
I'm going to get really irritated.
No, hold on. I'm not going to. No. There's one thing I'm going to say, and I don't give a shit how this sounds. I sent you one text last night. I sent you one text during the game. I sent you one text. And I said,
don't do it. Don't do it, man. We're being positive. We're being positive after the whistle. Don't even do it. Don't even do it.
Why?
Because I don't think things are going to change. I do not think things are going to change. So we can sit here and continue to talk about what your one issue last night. But listen, I watched the whole game. Okay. This is boring as shit.
Okay.
It's just boring hockey. There's just nothing.
I will not talk about how Jordan Greenway got punched in the head and didn't do anything about it again. I won't talk about it. All right. That's great. That's great. Now what? The season is over. There was an interesting stat that came out last night. Tage Thompson's gone from 47 to 21. Tuck 36 to 19, Dylan Cousins 31 to 15, Olofsson 28 to 7. It's 142 goals gone to 60 down to 62 goals. Now, granted, there are some injury games in there, and not full seasons, but still the fact of the matter is that this is what happens when you bring back the same forward group when five players had career years. This is exactly what we said that was at risk at before the season even started. So sometimes you get what you deserve.
You had an opportunity after last year when you missed the playoffs by 1 point, okay, and you had the youngest team in the league to sit there and say, okay, let's start to build. Is it time to build, or do we need one more year of development? And it's just interesting thinking back of the thought and philosophy that he has and had, and now all of a sudden we have gone one more calendar year with, you know, Rasmus Dahlin, and guys like Alex Tuck and guys like Tage Thompson and Dylan Cousins that have had another year of losing. And this year is a lot different than last year. This year's going to hurt a lot more than last year, because last year they missed by 1 point. They all had career years. They all played exceptionally well. Alex Tuck, Tage Thompson, Jeff Skinner, that line was incredible. You know, Rasmus Dahlin was 73 points last year. You can go on and on. Dylan Cousins, 31 snipes, 68 points, looking to get better. They have not even come close to hitting their marks from last year. You have had players that are now being paid money, that the pressure is on them to perform each and every night, not just go get 4 points in a night and then take, you know, a game or two off. It's about building an environment of winning at all costs. And it's going to be very interesting to see what is in store for this team moving forward. Because I don't think that this forward line, even though I think that there's some very talented players on the forward line, I don't think we have enough on the forward line. It's very clear. Our leading point producer has 52 points and he's a defenseman. Our leading forward on this team has 48 points. 48 points.
I don't know if the owner is going to allow it. I think that's one of the reasons why Casey isn't here. Now, granted, I like Byram. I would rather have Byram than Casey to begin with, so it doesn't bother me. But I think
agree with that. Yes,
for those
great pickup.
For those that wanted Casey here internally and wanted him signed, I don't think they wanted to pay him. Maybe pay him what he was asking. Now, we don't know what was going on in those negotiations, but I'm under the impression that you know, contracts aren't going to be handed out right now. There's been too many long-term deals. Like right now, Tage not earning up to his contract. That's one player right there. That's a massive.
Yes. I mean,
what's happened to Samuelson? Other than getting hurt again.
Yeah. Devastating to have a Jack Quinn out.
Jack Quinn. You know, a lot of eggs put in that basket. How was that handled? Torn Achilles, and then he comes back, and then it's the same injury in the same leg. I mean, there are a lot of things, if you go back and chalk up throughout the year, a lot of things that stink, man.
Yeah.
Like it's one after the other, and you mask one with a nice trade or you mask the rest of it. Like, you can't do it. The end of the year, when the season's over and you go back and replay everything that's happened, the way they've handled goaltenders and things like that, it's.
Well, how about Victor Olofsson?
Something else someone reminded me of the other day, and I couldn't believe that we had forgotten about that happening.
I can say that I'm more concerned going into this offseason than ever before.
I was excited last offseason.
Very much.
Because you know what? Here's what's not happening this year, okay? Jost not coming back. Gergensen's not coming back. Oposo not coming back, although not certain on that either. But those players not coming back. So there's three three safety valves as players you can insert in your lineup, gone. Where are you going to get your players from?
I think they're going to have to look at unrestricted free agency. I think they're going to have to look at teams that are in cap trouble. You know, I mean, Victor Olofsson will be coming off the books next year at 4.75. Zemgus Girgensson at 2.5. Jost at 2. Kylik Poso came off at 2.5. I mean,
there's most of Power's salary next year.
It's a lot. Joki Haru has to sign a contract. Are you re-signing Henry Joki Haru?
No, he's gone. Trading him. He'll bring me in a forward.
What do you do with Jacob Bryson at 1.85? Are you retaining him or are you letting him go? Is there another type of defenseman out there that can be
yeah, there is.
Put in his situation? I think they need to, you know, have a player or two maybe on the back end that you're paying entry-level contracts to. You need some cheap labored players that can be role players. Like, we paid Zemgus Girgensson and Kylik Poso $2.5 million and Tyson Jost $2 million to play on our fourth line last year. I think there's players out there that you can get for half of that that would be literally trying to tear heads off just to stand in this lineup to make NHL money. And I think you need to find those players. Are there players in the minors? Are there players in the minors that you can find in other organizations that you might have to make a trade for? What players over in Europe? What players are in, you know, the Finnish league, Swedish league, Swiss league, German league, you know, KHL? Are there players over there that can help this team win? And that's only the Sabres, I would imagine, would have those answers, because I'm sure they're doing a mass search, because this team needs to get better. This team needs to get better. There's been far too much rolling the dice lines.
Right? No shit, they need to get better, right? Wow.
They need to get better.
That's a really, really dynamite take to end the show. I'll tell you what we'll talk about tomorrow, though. We're going to watch the embedded.
Don't get snarky with me.
Fuck, it's like, whoa. It's like a conversation.
Your attitude has stunk since you got on here.
I'm
going
to tell you a
conversation
I had with Patty Coletta last week, okay? Went over to Uncle Pat's house, sat down on the sofa, and we were just watching. We were playing this game called, you know, Like It or Not Like It on Netflix. We're flicking through. Like, I had to tell him if he would like the movie or not, right? So because he's into some weird ass movies. He's into like these sci-fi movies, and it's just not my thing. So we're scrolling through. I'm like, he's like, yeah, I would watch that. I'm like, you'd watch that? I'd never watch that, right? So we get to this thing. He goes, oh, you know what I've been watching? I watched that documentary on Einstein. I'm like, oh yeah. He goes, guy's a genius. And I'm like, Einstein's a genius. He goes, yeah. He goes, oh my God, is he brilliant? And I'm like, well, it's now confirmed. I said, Patty, no one's come to that conclusion before. All right, that'll do it for After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. Reminder, everything fun coming up at Seneca can be seen at SenecaNiagaraCasino.com. Enjoy.